Organized team activities begin Wednesday in Green Bay, and to celebrate, we're bringing in Jeremy Vanderlinden of TitletownSoundoff.com for an OTA preview episode of Railbird Central. It's all coming up on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV next. Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the start of organized team activities on Wednesday in Green Bay. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the line.
Expert interview.
We have Jeremy Vanderlinden of TitletownSoundoff.com. Mr. Vanderlinden, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Brian. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us. Talk a little Packers football here on a Wednesday morning. Jeremy, it was learned yesterday on Tuesday that Brett Hundley and Ty Montgomery will miss at least part of OTAs this week to attend the annual NFLPA rookie premiere. Now, the timing isn't ideal during the first week of practice, but how much do you think this will hurt these players?
I mean, it can't help them, that's for sure. I mean, selfishly, I'm a little bummed because I'm going up there tomorrow. And I was really hopeful to see these guys, doing their thing. And it's kind of a bummer. But, you know, the rookie premiere is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And I feel like, if you can go, you should go. And of the rookies that the Packers brought in this year, I feel like these are two of the smarter guys they got. So if anybody can miss some OTAs, I feel like these would be two of the guys. They really just need to study their tails off, and they are, right? These are the two guys that everybody keeps talking about their smarts and how hard they work. So it's a concern. It's just kind of a bummer.
Yeah, definitely. Anybody that can get into Stanford as far as learning the playbook, Ty Montgomery probably has a leg up on everybody and can afford to maybe perhaps miss a little bit of time. But if we were to look into the crystal ball, where do you think these guys end up on the Packers depth chart? In other words, can Brett Hundley become as high as the number two quarterback this year? And can Ty Montgomery climb as high as the team's number four wide receiver?
I think Hundley could be the number two. I don't see that coming out of camp. I think the Packers carry three quarterbacks again this year, and Tolzien's number two. He put in the work. He put in the work to be the guy that suits up on game day and is the backup to Aaron Rodgers. And I think a year for Hundley to be the number three to sit for the best. So, I mean, I think Tolzien's going to be the guy because he's worked his tail off. And the coaches want to give it to him. They want him to have a fair shot at it. And they're going to give him every opportunity for it. Hundley's really smart. I think having a year I'm going to say this. I don't know about smart. I know that he works hard, and I know that he studies hard. And I think the coaches are going to like him an awful lot, and I think they're going to give him a shot at it. But I don't think he's going to get as fair of a shot at it as Tolzien gets throughout training camp. Mm-hmm. If he wants it, if Hundley wants it, he's going to have to earn it. He's going to have to work his tail off and get it. As far as Montgomery goes, I think Montgomery is going to be fantastic in the kick return game. I think the Packers got themselves a guy that's going to be a game changer on special teams, something to actually be excited about when the kick return team goes out there. So I like that, but I think for right now, you have to give the nod to Jeff Janis because he was with the team all year. He worked hard. He practiced with the team, and he deserves a shot at being that guy. And they're all going to get a shot. I'd say that number four spot, the guys that they have right now with Ty Montgomery, Jeff Janis, Jared Aberderis, they're all pretty even, I think, in getting their chance to be in that position. So he'll get a shot at it. But I think Jeff Janis is the leader of the pack right now.
In other OTA matters, as things get underway Wednesday in Green Bay, I feel like I've probably asked this to every guest since the NFL draft, but it's kind of one of the overriding concerns heading into OTAs. But where do you think Demaryius Randle and Quentin Rollins fit on this defense? Are these guys perimeter cornerbacks? Are they slot cornerbacks? Are they safeties? How do they fit in?
These kids are corners. I think they're corners, and they play both inside and out. The Packers drafted them for a reason. They had a need at corner. They didn't have a need at safety. They don't. And maybe in the years coming with Morgan Burnett, him coming up to needing a new contract, maybe they move on and they transition one of those guys to safety, or they transition Micah Hyback to safety. Mm-hmm. But I think for right now, these two are corners. I think they're going to play both inside and out, but they're not going to get much starting time right now. They'll have some time to develop, some time to sit. And I think the Packers do really well with bringing in young corners and just developing them and letting them sit. They always seem to have somebody in the wings just waiting to have their moment. And these two guys will be no different than Casey Hayward, Devon House, that have just sat and waited. And Packer fans have waited to see what those guys can do. And now it's time for Casey Hayward to get his chance. And these guys will have to wait their turn.
I mean, is there any chance that, the Packers spent high round draft picks on these two guys. Are they going to sit there behind the likes of Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde? Or is it possible these guys get bumped by the rookies at all?
Yeah, I think it's possible, but I think I'd be shocked. Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward were maybe not quite so high as far as draft picks go, but they were decent draft picks, and they've been with the team for a few years now. Micah Hyde has shown some serious versatility that can't be ignored. He's a guy that the team wants on the field, and I think he's going to be your slot corner for the year. I think Casey Hayward is your perimeter guy. And those other two are just going to be developing throughout the year. Maybe later on in the year, you start to see a rotation where they're going to come in and play some slot. And I think they're going to start in the slot. I mean, by start, I mean they're going to get their first initial snaps in the slot. That's where they're going to cut their teeth. Just like all these other guys, Casey Hayward starting in the slot. Micah Hyde started out in the slot. It's going to be the same thing. You're going to see some slow development early on. Maybe later in the season, they force their way into a rotation.
We're talking to Jeremy Vanderlinden of TitletownSoundoff.com here on a Wednesday, the day the Packers start OTAs in Green Bay. Jeremy, the other notable position battle going on the defensive side of the football is that inside linebacker. Do you think it's safe to say Sam Barrington keeps a starting job, but perhaps even more so than that, who ends up lining up next to him?
I think Barrington keeps his job. I'm actually excited to see what he does this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, he didn't start the season in that position, and he earned his way into the spot. He played quite well, and I think he's earned a shot to be the guy. And I think that's the plans, the plans that the Packers have for right now. As far as who starts next to him, I can't help but cheer for Carl Bradford. I'd really like to see him take this huge leap and surprise everyone. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. I feel like, realistically, what's going to happen to start the season is Clay Matthews gets those snaps, which is okay. I mean, obviously, at the end of the season, the defense was so improved just by moving him there. And I think they continue on with that for right now. And then maybe later in the season, Jake Ryan starts to take some snaps. And I like Jake Ryan. I think that he's going to be a guy that pushes for snaps, but I don't think it's going to be till later on in the season. He's not going to be the starter coming out of training camp. I don't see that.
Yeah, I guess we kind of wait and see with a guy like Jake Ryan. Don't really know what you have into him until you see him, so that's what makes this week so exciting. Over on the offensive side of the football, if we change gears a little bit here, I think the tight end battle is an interesting one. Do you think it's time Richard Rodgers can supplant Andrew Corliss as kind of the team's starting tight end this season?
Absolutely. Andrew Corliss has never proven to be a number one. It's not happened, and it's not going to happen now. If it hasn't happened before, it happened last season, it's not going to happen now. If you ask me, Richard Rodgers, by the end of the season, was already better than Corliss. If you remember, he wasn't doing a whole lot early on. All of his production is very condensed into the last few weeks of the season. And their numbers are very similar, actually. Corliss ended the season with 29 receptions on 46 targets. He averaged 11.1 yards per reception and scored 3 touchdowns. His longest was 34 yards, with a total of 323 receiving yards. And that, you know, throughout the entire season, that's what he did as the starter. Rodgers came on late, and he had 20 receptions on 30 targets, an average of 11.3, so he's higher there. He scored 2 touchdowns. He's only behind by 1. His longest reception was 43 yards, and he had 225 yards. For a guy coming on late in the season, I feel like he really showed that he's got something to work with. And I think this year he's going to make a nice jump, and he's going to earn that spot, and he'll be the number one guy.
Elsewhere on offense, how is the running back position shaping up behind Eddie Lacy? I think we can assume he'll be the starter, but is James Starks safe kind of in that number two running back role, and who's going to be the number three guy?
James Starks is far and away the number two at the moment. It doesn't mean that can't change. Mm-hmm. He's definitely not a lock, but I'd definitely be surprised to see one of these undrafted guys come in and take it. You got Rajon Neal from last year. And everybody's talking about John Crockett. And so, you know, I can't say I know a lot about Crockett, but I'm excited to see what he's got. I liked Rajon Neal last year. And these are going to be the two guys that are going to battle for that third position on the depth chart. I think it's going to come down to them. I'm going to give the nod to Neal at this point because we've seen a little bit of Neal. And I'm excited to see more of this kid. Crockett, on the other hand, is an interesting guy. At 217, he's a bit bigger, and I'm excited about it. I think this position group's going to be fun to watch throughout training camp. I think Starks comes out the number two. I would like to see Crockett earn his way onto the roster. Who doesn't want to see that? Every year, you pick your undrafted rookie, and you hope that he makes the roster. And I think Crockett's that guy for a lot of people. So I'd be excited to see that happen. But I'm going to give the nod to Neal.
If we get away from position battle talk for a while, but I still think this conversation can be interesting regardless, what second-year player do you think will make the biggest leap this season? I know you already kind of mentioned Richard Rodgers. I don't know if you think he's the same guy or we can put somebody else in that category.
See, that's what's great about last year's draft class. I mentioned Richard Rodgers, and I do believe he's going to make a jump, but he's not my number one guy here. I have to go with Devontae Adams. What he showed last year, this kid's going to be a freak. He's going to be a yak monster. And I'm talking like Cookie Monster, yak monster. He's going to go nuts. The guy refuses to quit. He gets the football. He gains those extra yards pretty consistently. And it's what he was doing in college, and it's what he did last year. If you go back and watch the film, you see a lot of him making people miss and just grabbing up those extra yards by chunks. And I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. He plays with an attitude. I think he's a scary kid. If I'm other coaches and teams in the NFC North, I'm nervous about Devontae Adams the next few years because I think he becomes a serious threat. I'm excited about it. Packer fans should be excited about it. Watching his film last year was one of the funnest things I got to do as far as covering the team, taking down plays, stuff like that. Devontae Adams is going to be very special.
I think that's an interesting answer because, he had a promising rookie season, but I mean, you know, in a relative sense, the numbers, the statistics he put up are rather modest. But if I go back just a few seasons and look at the kind of numbers like James Jones put up as the team's number three wide receiver, I mean, they were astronomical. I mean, there was that one season where James Jones caught like 17 touchdowns as the number three wideout. You know, to think what Devontae Adams could do in a number three role is rather remarkable. So I'm excited to see that as well.
I think Adams is a better athlete than James Jones ever was. There were some trust issues last year. He dropped a couple passes in important moments. And I think he's going to get over that. He seems to have the mental toughness for it. And when trust is built, he's going to break through. And I think that can be built in the offseason. I don't think they have to wait for the regular season to build that trust. He just needs to keep working closely with number 12 and he's earned those targets. I think he's going to put up some good numbers this year. And I think it's something to be excited about for sure.
Kind of off topic here a little bit, not really OTAs related, but I can't help but ask this, Jeremy. Yesterday, or I think it was actually published on Monday, Greg Bedard of Sports Illustrated's MMQB published some rumors that the New England Patriots may have bended a few rules in the game against the Green Bay Packers last season, which I can only assume means that they were playing with deflated footballs. It didn't go into details, but it's crazy. I had just kind of published this in a short little post at 24/7 Sports that the Packers have been linked to this Deflategate scandal, and this article just went crazy. Like, people were like, I got a lot of traffic on this, and kind of I didn't know if it really would, seeing as there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, conclusive evidence. But I mean, do you think anything could come out of this, these rumors that the New England Patriots, maybe there's more than meets the eye than just what happened in the AFC Championship game?
No, I mean, I think whatever was, is, or could happen from this has already happened. League has already handed down their punishment. They're going through that process, and no one should be surprised. The Patriots are cheaters. It's what they do. Cheated. They've been caught cheating multiple times. And yes, you could say everyone cheats, but they're the only idiots who are getting caught. So if they're getting caught, how much more are they cheating behind the scenes that we don't know about? And here you come. You're coming to play one of the best teams in the league. Of course they're going to cheat. It's no different than anyone else. If they're going in to play anyone within their division, they're going to cheat there as well. But the Packers are scary team to play against. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the league. Everyone knows that. Of course, the Patriots cheated. That's what they do.
Fair enough. I guess I don't know what more can happen either, but I just thought it was interesting that the Packers were somehow linked here in a somewhat nebulous sense until we find out more. Jeremy, how things going at Titletown Sound Off? I see the new feature you've been doing on Twitter, kind of publishing a Lambeau Field picture of the day. That's really cool.
We do your daily Lambeau. I wish I could take credit for that, but Chris is the one that came up with the idea. It's nice. It's a good feature. We're having fun with it. We get a lot of responses. If you have a picture of Lambeau Field that you would like us to tweet out, you can send it to us at titletownsoundoff@gmail.com. Include your Twitter handle because we would like to, add you and link you to the picture. We prefer to use people's pictures of Lambeau Field for the feature. We don't want to be Googling pictures of Lambeau Field and sending them out. We prefer to use fan pictures. So if you have any pictures of Lambeau and you want to share them, go ahead and send them to us and we'll get them posted.
Very cool.
Other than that,
go ahead.
At the same time, I'm sure we're going to have we'll have a podcast up soon. My phone records it, so I have no computer to record. There, we have no podcast right now.
Well,
it's coming.
We're looking forward to future episodes. Jeremy, thank you for joining us this morning. Glad to talk a little Packers football with you, and good luck on that.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, Brian. Hey, congratulations on the new gig. I'm really, really proud of you. You worked hard. I think you're one of the hardest working people in the Packers blogosphere, and it shows hard work pays off. And you're an inspiration to us Packer nerds who are just trying to make our way. So,
well, thank
congratulations,
you.
Congratulations, man.
That's kind of you to say. Fun talking a little football this morning, Jeremy.
Have a good one.
Yeah, take care. Jeremy Vanderlinden of Titletown Sound Off, joining us here on a Wednesday morning at Rail Bird Central. Follow him on Twitter at, I believe it's, TTSO, that's short for Titletown Sound Off. So once again, the Twitter handle, TTSO_Jeremy. Give him a follow, folks. And, follow Titletown Sound Off as well on Twitter, the site's general handle. as they tweet out pictures of Lambeau Field every day of the week, or at least weekdays. I'm not sure exactly how often it is, but it's a cool feature that I've noticed come through my Twitter feed lately. All right, folks, let's continue our discussion of the Green Bay Packers.
Packers news of the day.
On Tuesday, it was learned that quarterback Brett Hundley and wide receiver Ty Montgomery will not be taking part in at least some of OTAs this week, as they are invited to the annual NFLPA rookie premiere, which begins on Thursday, runs Thursday through Sunday, so May 28th through 31st, and they are required by contract to appear. I think 40 some odd players are invited across the NFL, and rookies only here, draft choices, are invited to take part in this. And what it is the NFLPA rookie premiere is it's really kind of unfair in a way. What they do is basically invite skill position players that they think are going to be the biggest stars in the NFL in the years to come. Basically, you know, being a skill position player comes with a lot of clout. These are the kind of people who are a lot of attention is placed on them in fantasy football and things like that. And they're just the guys who touch the football all the time in the game, and they get, you know, the most airtime and their name mentioned the most on broadcasts and things like that. So the NFLPA, the Players Association, Players Union, wants to capitalize upon this. And so, I mean, this is, I think they said this is the 21st annual edition of this. And so they invite these players out, and what it is, it's an opportunity for them to take their photographs for trading cards, like Topps and Panini will be out there taking photography of them in their jerseys and things like that. And then they also autograph a bunch of memorabilia. These are the kind of things like, you know, when Topps puts, like, they'll slip in the occasional autograph card into their packs of trading cards. This is where they get them from. These guys go out there and they will sign boxes of cards and memorabilia from different. You know, there's all sorts of sponsors out there, like Nike is out there and Samsung and all these, you know, NFL sponsors. And, you know, it's a way to, you know, these rookies to grow their brands a little bit. I mean, it's cool that they put on, like, their game jerseys for the first time ever and you know, take a lot of photography. And, you know, it's all from a marketing standpoint. But, yeah, it's not even a choice. This is, like, part of the league's collective bargaining agreement. Even though the Packers have practice this week, they can't be like, nope, you guys are staying here and practicing. They are required to go out to Los Angeles over this weekend. So I'm not sure exactly what's happening. You know, today's the start of OTAs. Technically, Brett Hundley and Ty Montgomery could get in one day of practice today before they board a plane, I guess. I'm not sure whether that's happening or not, or they need the extra travel time. It's a long flight out to LA, about 4 hours worth from Green Bay to Los Angeles if they're taking a direct flight. So I'm not sure how much time they have set aside for that. But unfortunately, later this week, we will not be seeing the rookies. It's not a big deal. I mean, it doesn't help by any means, it's not a big deal. Davante Adams and Kyree Thornton did this last year for the Green Bay Packers. They were both invited out there as well and missed a few days of practice or whatever. And, you know, we just talked about Davante Adams before. I don't think it affected him, you know, too much that he missed 2 days of OTAs or whatever it is. So they'll be back next week. Or eligible to be back next week at least. And so we'll see these rookies soon. Hopefully we end up seeing Demaryius Randall back on the practice field. Remember, during rookie minicamp, he didn't really take part. He was ended up suiting up, but he took part in actually very little because he kind of had this lingering ankle injury. But aside from that, hopefully he actually is able to take part on a more on a larger basis on here what is the first day of full team practice in Green Bay. And so if you're wondering, the only one days of OTAs per week are open to the public. This week it happens to be on Thursday in Green Bay. So if you're in the area or you want to head over to Green Bay, Thursday practice will be open. I believe it's like 11 a.m., 11:30 a.m. Local time. But today, you know, Wednesday and Friday, closed to the public. That usually, at least historically, means that they'll be practicing inside the Don Hutson Center behind closed doors. Can't really see what they're doing. You know, they like to keep a few things private. You know, today I guess it's kind of almost a dress rehearsal in which especially the rookies kind of learn what will happen in a practice before they go out in front of the public on Thursday, you know, and practicing in front of fans and the media and all that. But looking forward to the coverage that comes from OTAs tomorrow on Thursday. That should be fun. You know, players will be talking to the media after practice, and Mike McCarthy will hold a press conference. So be exciting to actually, you know, see these guys, hear from them, how they react to the first day of practice in a Packers uniform. So will be fun as we get underway. I do think if I were to, you know, kind of, you know, add one more thing to the OTA preview discussion we had earlier with Jeremy Van Der Linden, and it kind of dovetails with the news that Ty Montgomery will be missing practice. But I just think the wide receiver position battle, even though the Packers are like set with their top three wide receivers, you've got Jordy Nelson, you've got Randall Cobb, and you've got Devontae Adams pretty much almost locked into those 1, 2, and 3 spots. I still think the wide receiver battle beyond them is going to be exceedingly fun during OTAs, during minicamp, during training camp, to see who's going to get the 4th, 5th, and 6th spots. Because, I mean, the 4th wide receiver will be, it, you know, is not a big contributor, but is a contributor in the Packers offense and their 4 wide receiver sets. And I think Ty Montgomery has a chance to be that. But as we talked about before, I think Jeff Janis maybe has the inside track as a guy who enters his second season in the NFL, a guy who paid his dues last season, spent a lot of time on the game day inactive list. He played a little bit last year, but certainly not much whatsoever. And you got Jared Aberderis coming back. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he is today and tomorrow and whatever. That's going to be a big thing. All these guys who sat out last year, it's going to be big to see, like, how far along are they in the recovery. You know, the guys with torn ACLs like Jared Aberderis and Don Barclay, and not just them, but, you know, who B.J. Raji tore the muscle last year, and see if these guys are actually ready to come back. You know, sometimes the Packers are rather conservative with them, and they won't even practice whatsoever, you know, during this time of year, during May, during June. You know, they're not about to take chances with these guys. So, but it'll be interesting to see if they're ready to come back or not. Some of these guys may not be ready. They may choose to elect to sit a guy like Jared Aberderis out and let him heal some more, at least until training camp starts. So that'll be interesting to watch starting tomorrow during OTAs in Green Bay. So I think it'll be interesting, like I said, the wide receiver battle between Montgomery, Janis, Jared Aberderis, and then even the undrafted rookies the Packers brought in this year, Because I, you know, these guys have a chance if they can impress. It, you know, the Packers, if a guy like Ricky Collins or Adrian Coxon or Jimmy Hunt, if these guys impress, I mean, the Packers wouldn't, you know, hesitate to keep one of them. You know, they're probably not going to keep more than one of them, but hey, if one of these guys steps up, they could win a roster spot or if not that, a spot on the practice squad. So really, really fun times here at wide receiver coming up, I believe. And that kind of leads us into
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers today, tomorrow. OTAs continue, like I said, Thursday, the first public day. So head to Ray Nitschke Field on Thursday. That's the practice field adjacent to the Don Hutson Center. Open to the public, free admission, no charge there. Like I said, one day a week. This week it's on Thursday. I think next week it's actually a day earlier on Wednesday. I'm just going off the top of my head. I'd have to check to make sure. But OTAs getting underway this week in Green Bay. Finally talking some football here. You know, we spend there is no off season for Railbird Central. We've been having episodes every Monday, Wednesday, Friday since last season ended, and you know, it's all been talk. You know, a lot of speculation, a lot of draft talk, but finally we're going to talk about things that actually happen on the field. So I'm excited to do that for the next episode of Railbird Central on Friday, where we actually can react to what happened, who is out there, maybe who is missing on the practice field. So excited to find all these things out. We'll find out more later today and tomorrow. So that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Jeremy Vanderlinden of Titletown Sound Off. .com for joining us on the show for a little OTA preview talk here at Railbird Central. We'll see you later, folks. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of Railbird Central, podcasted later in the day on demand anytime after the show is over. So we'll see you, folks. We'll be back again on Friday talking about what happens on the football field. So we'll see you then. On behalf of everybody at 24/7 Sports and Cheese at DV, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go. Off the wall.